Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah, yeah.
Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, you know.
Oh yeah, here we go.
Yes, sir.
Blog Talk is back.
Boys with the 12th man, we here to stay, people.
Yes, sir. We will not be blackballed.
We will not be denied by Blog Talk this week.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! We made it.
We are the Big Ballers Network, people.
Nah,
I was making sure.
Don't get that dude no more color.
We're gonna create our own network. You know?
You don't deserve
not
it.
The big three.
Yeah.
Big Trey. We're gonna make that up. But again, America, welcome to Force Talking Sports with the 12th man. Today is Thursday, August the 3rd. We are completely in August. Your boy Dre. I'm on the West Coast in Portland, Oregon, checking out Seattle. You know, kind of checking out what's happening on this side of town. So it's good. It's good. So I'm refreshed, ready to go. I got to check in with my other partners who, you're not going to trade them. You're not going to knock them out. They're here ready to represent. So let's kind of check in. First and foremost, Mr. JQ, how you feel this evening, sir?
I'm good. I'm going to make sure I'm not going to miss the show because I stayed out gambling too much, like an hour. So I'm here. I'm ready to roll. What's going on with you, man?
Viva lost wages or something?
Viva lost wages. Oh, what? It's all good. And, we got you, man. Hey, that's what you got to do, man. You got to live once, man, like you always say. And I got to check in with my other partner, check in with Mr. Rob Ford. How you doing, Rob?
Man, doing fantastic. In H-Town at the moment, you know, the land where Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon and Beyonce are talking about buying the Houston Rockets.
Yes,
and I got
sir.
A trivia wow. question for you, Mr. Andre. What city in the United States has the most microbreweries per capita?
Microbreweries per capita. Is that a trick question?
You've used
actually
that
H-County? Yeah.
It's Portland.
Hmm?
Is it Portland? Oh, it is Portland. Wow. Okay.
It's Portland. So I'm giving you a little,
wow.
little okay. giving you a little trivia about the city you're in right now. Portland or
I figured it was either Portland or Houston. Okay, I figured it was one of the two. So, okay, that's what's up. Nice. Let's just say that before the show is going to end, I'm going to definitely get a chance to have some fun, and we're going to take some trips, man. So it's all good. It's all good for sure. But don't tell anyone else that. But all right, America, let's check in as always. What we always like to do, we always like to give our show numbers. You want to reach out to your boys. The number to call is always 424-243-9519. That's the number to call us. You want to follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12manSports, or if you type in Talking Sports for the 12th Man, you will find us in that arena as well. Gentlemen, we got to kick off the show with some interesting news here. We're ready to go. And obviously, NFL guys, it's right around the corner. And let's talk about something that's pretty interesting. I know Colin Kaepernick has always been in the news. And we're going to talk about him and the Dolphins because right now, the Dolphins had a scare at camp with Ryan Tannehill. And not a scare with his wife, but a scare actually where him kind of tweaking his knee. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, if he goes down, we're going to be right back at it. So I'm going to let you guys weigh in because there's a couple of quarterbacks that I was looking up. And is Colin better than a couple of guys on the list that we're going to definitely talk about? But I'll kick it off with you, JQ, and is he a good fit? And I'll let kind of Rob wrap it up too. So your thoughts, man.
Well, you know what? This is one of those ones where – you know, I think they could use him, but Matt Moore is not a bad backup who they have there in Miami. He's played, you know, decent enough in his mop-up duties for Ryan Tannehill. So I don't think Miami is going to necessarily be, you know, clamoring or just desperate to get Colin. So I don't think this one should necessarily be lumped into the, oh, he's being blackballed, because I think Matt Moore is a capable quarterback backup, depending on how long Tannehill is out. If Tannehill had been hurt worse, but then he is, and reports are that he survived, you know, a major injury, then, you know, you got to look into it because you'll be down for him probably 6 weeks putting him on the PUP list. But if that's not the case and he's going to be back week, you know, two or three, and, you know, you got more there, and he's to me, he's capable enough. I think he and Colin are probably on par right about now. So if they don't sign him, I don't necessarily see that one being they're, you know, trying to hold him back, you know, as we talked about it for other cities. Baltimore, talking to you. But outside of that, you know, I think Miami will be all right with Matt Moore.
Hey, Rob, it's time for you to dust off your boy, Jay Cutler's jersey, man. Get ready. Robert Griffin, your thoughts about that?
Well, obviously the news is a little bit more promising for the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill didn't suffer any ligament damage, but there's still uncertainty about his knee and when he will return and how long will he be out. And so I think if we still have to wait and get further information, if you're front office personnel or coaches for the Miami Dolphins, to really see how long Tannehill is going to be out before you can decide if he's going to be a good fit. If he's out long term, then obviously you're going to need another quarterback on that roster. But mm-hmm. as JQ mentioned, if he's only out a few weeks, then obviously you live with Matt Moore and the quarterbacks that are already on that roster until Tannehill returns. Kind of a freakish injury, too. You know, he wasn't even touched on the plays he's running, and knee just kind of buckled a little bit. And obviously it's a very freakish injury, but early results look like there's no ligament damage. We just have to wait and see how long he's going to be out. Didn't realize mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill was 29 years old. It seemed like he's only been in the league 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, is he 29?
Yeah, wow. 29 years old. Oh, wow.
I didn't know that either. I thought he was like 26. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, I was gonna say those are good calls. I mean, the desperate times call for desperate measures because again, I mean, JQ, you're talking about Matt Moore. I mean, obviously he's not the sexy pick, but you know, if Matt Moore was kind of doing his job, they maybe wouldn't have drafted Tannehill too. So that's kind of why it's kind of one of those, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But you know, does New England drive up the price? Yeah, I know what I'm saying, but does that drive the price for, like, you know, New England for, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo and other things? Like, hey, you know, so, you know, even your boy, you know, A.J. McCarron, I mean, I'm just saying there's some things out there that, you know, some guys may want to reach out and be like, hey, you know, what are you thinking about? Because, you know, desperate times can call for desperate measures for sure, you know?
I think if you're the Patriots, Jimmy Garoppolo is still untouchable. We got to remember Tom Brady just turned 40 years old. And even though he's coming off of another great season, you still have to wonder how many more years he have left in the tank. And so I think if you're the Patriots, like I said, we haven't seen many quarterbacks achieve success beyond 40 years old. So we're going to have to wait and see. I think if you're the Patriots, they're still holding tight with Garoppolo.
And they wouldn't trade him in division. I just can't see them trading him and him blossoming to where they think he can be and then having to face him twice a year for the next 10 years. I just don't see that happening. So, don't talk about McCarron. I'm still holding out hope they'll see the light and not go all in on Andy Dalton. I know. You do a good job with
Andy Dalton is your guy, man.
You stop
that.
Bro.
Oh man. Now
you got the orange hair to go with the orange and the Bengals jerseys.
I'm no longer participating in this conversation.
JQ's going to see his way out, man. Habitual line stepper, that's what Rob is. No, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody said, hey, here's a first-round pick and somebody takes it, no one's untouchable. I mean, I'm not saying Tom Brady. You know, I'm talking about quarterback-wise, too, because I'm sure you can get a quarterback to fill it out, too, man. But, again, this may be us just kind of seeing what happens because if Tannehill's fine, as Rob said, no ligament damage, then we'll see how that progresses. So, food for thought, gentlemen, as always, man.
Yep.
So, I don't know. We'll talk about that and we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks as far as that as well. All right. We are ready to.
Reggie Wayne's got the Red Sox on the NFL Network.
Reggie Wayne's a wild dude.
Watch
Miami stand
New Orleanian. We like our Sox.
Yes, you do.
Wow. I'm surprised Rob didn't give us his food breakdown either, too. We're kind of sitting back waiting for that, but it's all good. So
he ain't Houston, so he ain't going to give us too much of when he ain't Houston.
Well, I'm in Houston, man. You know, what do you eat when you're in Houston? You eat some Tex-Mex, and Mexican has some fabulous tacos tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it is. All right, so you got it in. All right, we are ready to kick it to our preseason top five college football as we kind of switch gears. I'm going to kick this off with Mr. Robert Ford to lead us off, Rob, kind of right there. little entree for you, bro. Let's kick it off, man.
And we're talking the top five preseason, obviously. As much as I hate to say this, year in and year out, you got to start with Alabama at number one. Jalen Hurts, I think the big thing you're going to have to look for with Alabama and Jalen Hurts, obviously they made it to the national championship game with a freshman quarterback. This year you want to see how he's going to develop into the passing game. Solid, but still not great in a downfield passing game. So we're going to see how much of an improvement he makes in the new offensive coordinator this year, going from year one to year two as a starter. Obviously, you like his mobility back there in the pocket, how much he's going to improve in the passing game. And he's got that deep threat in Calvin Ridley. Obviously, you got big Deshaun Hand on the defensive line, probably one of the better defensive linemen in the country, even though he's coming off of a DUI. And, of course, you have the best in the business in Nick Saban as the head coach. And they still have the most talent of any roster in the country. So you still have to go with Alabama at the number one position. Florida State, I have right now at the number two position. Obviously, a big matchup September 2nd right there in Atlanta against Alabama, neutral site field. The key with Florida State this year is the offensive development of DeAndre Francois and Jimbo Fisher, and seeing how they're going to improve offensively. Defensively, they started coming around at the end of the year last year. Plus, they got 9 returning starters on defense, and also the top defensive player returning from knee injury is safety DeJuan Jones, who's got a chance to be an all-pro in the next level, let alone the all-conference player in the ACC. So he's got that kind of potential. Florida State's got a tough schedule to go at Clemson, at Florida, at Virginia Tech, and also you got a neutral site against Alabama. But when you look at their roster, they're loaded. If they can come out of that with only one loss, I mean, I don't know if there's any team in the country that's got a tougher schedule than Florida State this season. Number three, let's go to JQ's team, the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes, sir.
I got him too, JQ.
It's a crapshoot right now.
Who's Ohio State?
Go ahead.
I mean, just a crapshoot in terms of anybody outside behind Alabama. You can put them 2 through 5 and make an argument either way.
Yep. But obviously, I have Ohio State, JT Barrett, so he's still got experience at the quarterback position. Urban Meyer, you still got him up there as a top 2 or 3 head coach in college football. Meyer is 61-6 since taking over Ohio State, which is incredible. And, of course, they're going to be right there in the thick of things. A talented roster once again for Ohio State. And when you look at them as well, the defensive line is loaded. Tyquan Lewis, Sam Hubbard, Nick Bosa. I mean, they're going to wreak all kind of havoc as well. And I expect Kevin Wilson would do a great job renovating that offense as well with JT Barrett. So I got to like Ohio State.
Look at him talking about.
At the number three position. And number four, right now, USC. And all I'm going to just say is one name, Sam Darnold. I expect him to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. USC won their last 9 games and could have been probably one of the hottest teams in the country towards the end of the season last season. So they're going to be loaded. We're finally going to see USC back on the map this season. I expect them to be in the playoffs. They're the clear favorite in the Pac-12, so expect them to have an outstanding season at the number 4 position. Number 5 has been a big toss-up for me. I have 5A and 5B, and that's Clemson and Penn State. Obviously, Clemson's got to place the best player in their history, and Deshaun Watson, who's now taking snaps for the Houston Texans here in preseason training camp. So that's going to be a big one for them to replace. But other than that, they're loaded on their roster, a lot of talent. They're still going to be right there in the mix. And then when you look at Penn State, when you look at their talent, Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley, that's the best quarterback running back combination they've had since 1994 with Kerry Collins and Kanjana Carter. So they're going to be loaded offensively. They're just a notch below Ohio State, in my opinion, just from a depth standpoint. But they're talent-wise at the top. They do have some talent at the top. They just don't have the depth that Ohio State's going to be able to present. But I have them right there with Clemson at 5A, 5B.
Pretty nice list. So, JQ, you know, obviously you said it's a crapshoot from after Alabama, but, you know, tell us what you think as far as that list and any commentate on that, sir.
Yeah, I can't cope with any of those, and I actually would have done the same thing, pretty much 2 through 5. I mean, you can flip-flop Florida State and Ohio State. I can make an argument for either one of them. And we talked about Alabama. You can't forget about Scarborough, running back. He was having a monstrous game against Clemson until he got hurt. They can keep that guy healthy. He is just another Derrick Henry type load on that backfield. And for a young quarterback, the best thing you can do is play sound defense and have a good running game. You know Alabama's going to do that. Same thing applies to Florida State. Getting Cam Akers to replace Dalvin Cook. Like you said, that defense was starting to come around towards the end of last year. Florida State is always loaded with talent. It's just sometimes they just don't use it properly, or, you know, some guys don't live up to the hype and expectations. But they've got a good number of prospects there. So you got to watch out for Florida State. That Florida State-Alabama game is going to be huge. And I still think the loser can get into the college football, because if it's a close game, you know, and those guys, both of them continue to play good ball the rest of the year, it's going to be hard to keep them out of it, because, I mean, playing either one of them to kick off the season is a tough task. Everything you said about Ohio State, spot on. I'm glad he was digging in there and getting the research on there. I don't have to repeat it. I really think that, you know, Penn State-Ohio State class is going to be for the college football playoffs for the Big Ten representative. That dude, Saquon Barkley, might be the best player in college football this year. He's just an absolute stud. He truly is. I still have a little concerns about that offensive line, but he and Evan McSorley was playing fantastic towards the end of last year. And then behind that, you know, USC has a ton of talent. Sam Darnold is getting a lot of hype. He may have some competition from, I believe his name is Josh Allen, the quarterback from Wyoming, to be the first pick in the draft. But he's definitely up there. He's going to USC also has a ton of talent. And the thing about Clemson that gives me pause is what Rob talked about, is they're going to be loaded. I mean, just sick on defense. But can they score more than 16 points a game? And then they may not always need that with that defense, but they're going to run into a Florida State or a Lamar Jackson level where they have to put some points on the board. Does that offense continue to grow throughout the season and complement that dynamic defense that I think they're going to have? So, for me, as we look at this college football season, you know, we're going to give Alabama the nod of respect because I think they've earned it. I mean, I don't think anybody can really quibble with that, even though, you know, a lot of people hate Alabama for the success and because their rivals, like, you know, for Rob's LSU team. But everybody else, to me, has some holes. And you can say, yeah, they're good, but, and put a butt on it, and you can see them be a challenger, and you can see them lose some games they shouldn't and fall by the wayside. So this is going to be a really interesting college football season because I just don't see a dominant team or a couple of dominant teams out there. It's going to be fun and wide open.
Yeah. Man, so that's a great analysis, too, as far as it, too. So we're going to keep this moving here. That's kind of like you said, we're kind of looking at, you know, kind of top five. Now we can kind of break things down and look at what we're talking individually, you know, obviously by conference. And we're going to start out with the Big Ten. And right now we got about we're still making moves here. We got about 26 minutes, guys, moving right along here. And we're going to talk about Big Ten kind of right out the gate here. And, again, I'll kind of let, you know, Rob, I know you got to go. I'm going to kind of let JK start with this because there's a couple teams I know. Ohio State's right there. I would say look out for Penn State, man, because, you know, James Franklin, what he's got going on, guys. You know, this is an interesting squad, too, and I know there's a couple things we're going to look at, too. You never can count out, you know, Michigan State, what they're doing, and then Michigan. So it's kind of an interesting division. We'll talk about the rankings right now. But, you know, kind of give a quick little preview as far as what your thoughts are, you know, JK, because, you know, obviously you guys were up there in the division. Penn State was right there too. Michigan, you know, again, and your thoughts about this as well. Michigan State.
Yeah, and it goes back to what we just talked about in the rankings. I really think, you know, I think a piece of it, and I'll be honest with you, I think the Big Ten is slightly overrated because if you have a Michigan or a Wisconsin team, just hear me out, if you got a Michigan or Wisconsin team against the class of another one of the Power Fives on a neutral field, I don't think those two teams are going to be, you know, favored heavily against anybody else, against an LSU, an Alabama, Oklahoma State, a USC, one of those, like Clemson. You know, I just don't think they will be. But I think the power lies, it's going to be top heavy because that Big Ten West outside of Wisconsin is not really all that good. It's really in the Big Ten East. It's really close. You know, they're trying to kind of rival what the SEC West had happening a couple of years back where it was Mississippi State, LSU, Alabama, Auburn.
Yeah.
Where it was just a train wreck every week. And I think you're going to run into some of that with Ohio State, Penn State, and to a little lesser degree, Michigan. I think they are in that boat a little bit with Clemson, where they got to see some young guys really step up to fill the voids that got left by a lot of, you know, productive talent that graduated or went to the NFL early. Michigan State, I don't think, is back there quite yet. I think it's going to take more than a year for them to bounce fully back. But, you know, D'Antoni is, especially for those big games against Ohio State and Penn State and Michigan, he's going to have them ready, and they're going to play a little bit over their heads in those games and then come back to earth against teams that don't have that marquee and that kind of rivalry with them. But to me, you know, honestly, I think the college football playoff play-in game really is Penn State at Ohio State. Penn State got Ohio State last year on the block kick. That was in Happy Valley. This one was in Columbus. We don't know if it's going to make a difference. Can they stop Barkley and McSorley? Can Penn State do anything against that Ohio State defense? That's really where that matchup is going to be won. Which he talked about for Jalen Hurts, even though, you know, he's young. JT Barrett has something to prove. You got to remember, they won that championship, you know, with Cardale basically taking the reins for the playoffs. He got them in the position, but Cardale brought them home. And fans are looking for him to take that step and say, okay, you got all these records. We know you're coming back. But that downfield passing game was horrendous last year. And the secret is out about that. So you can see a lot of 8-9-man boxes, a lot of man coverage on the outside, and daring Ohio State to beat them down the field so they can loosen up, you know, that run option game. So that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be Penn State versus Ohio State for the whole thing.
McSorley, Leckett, Barkley, great running back. Marcus Allen, safety. You know, we'll see about Penn State. They got a good thing too. But I'm going to kick this over to Rob Ford. Talk about it, Rob. All you, man.
Yeah, you know, I agree with, you know, a majority of what JQ had to say about there. The Big Ten, of course, is loaded at the top. I mean, they have four legitimate playoff contenders heading into the 2017 season. But after that, top four, there's going to be a big drop-off. And it's the same bunch that reached the New Year's Day 6 in 2016, last season. Penn State, obviously, the defending conference champion, could take the next step under James Franklin. Obviously, you got Urban Meyer, who's going to look to reach college football playoff for the third time in four seasons. Michigan lost three games by a combined 5 points under Jim Harbaugh last season. And, of course, Wisconsin lost three one-score games on the Big Ten East powerhouse under Paul Christ as well. I'm sorry, he's Big Ten West. So you got the Big Ten East, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. That's your 1, 2, and 3. Then after there, once again, it's a big drop-off. I have Michigan State 4, Maryland 5, Indiana, and then Rutgers. Of course, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Ohio State is still the team to beat. JT Barrett, Kevin Wilson, the renovated offense, loaded on the defensive line. Plus, they're at home against Penn State, too. So that's going to be big in that big matchup. Of course, Jim Harbaugh is still the X factor.
Mm-hmm.
They've recruited extremely well, as good as anybody in the country in the last few years. Obviously, they lose a lot off of that defense, and really they lose a lot off of both sides of the ball. So now is really the time for a lot of his recruits to really step up. So I'm going to say they are really an X factor. They may be somewhat of an unknown. We're going to have to see how some of these big-time recruits that they've recruited step up. A sleeper team, even though I got them 6, is Indiana. This is a team that really could be good offensively and scary, you know, stuff to stop offensively. Obviously, defensively, they're going to be weak. Richard Legault returns at quarterback. And, of course, we have to see, you know, like I said, their defense can rise up. But they're definitely going to score points, Indiana. Big Ten West, Wisconsin and everybody else. Wisconsin is definitely a team in the West.
right.
Iowa and Nebraska, I think they're going to fight for the number 2 spot. I have Iowa slightly ahead of Nebraska right now. Northwestern, of course, I have the number 4, even though they got a big-time running back in Justin Jackson. That's going to keep them in some ball games. Minnesota, number 5, Illinois, 6. Purdue, sorry, Drew Brees, are going to round up the bottom of the Big Ten Conference, the Big Ten West, that is. We talked about Penn State at Ohio State, October 28. Big-time game is going to decide the Big Ten Championship. You can never look past Ohio State at Michigan as well, November 25th. Still probably the biggest game, obviously the biggest game of both the Buckeyes and the Wolverine schedule every year. Then, of course, October 7th, even though I think Wisconsin is going to run away with the West, then the only hope for somebody to beat them will be Nebraska, Wisconsin at Nebraska on October 7th. Look at three Heisman hopefuls out of the Big Ten. JT Barrett, of course, Ohio State, he's 32-4 as a starter, 100 total touchdowns in his career. Finished 5th in the Heisman voting in 2014. It seems like a long time ago. But if he can get back to that level, of course, watch out. Saquon Barkley, freakish athlete, as JQ already talked about, has a chance to carry the Nittany Lions to the college football playoffs. So it's a big-time player. And, of course, Trace McSorley. And like I said earlier, this feels like 1994 if you're the Nittany Lions fans. They haven't had a QB running back combination since Kerry Collins and Kajana Carter. So that seems like a long time ago. Yeah, 1994. But once again, it's Ohio State and Wisconsin for the Big Ten championship game with Ohio State winning.
The wide receiver
combination, Nick Westbrook, wide receiver for Indiana. He's a player to watch. And Jazz Peavy, wide receiver for Wisconsin, the two players that could be exciting to watch.
Yeah, that Ohio State at Indiana, I don't know why they agreed to that. And it's at Indiana at night, that opening weekend. You're right, Indiana is really tough. I don't know how much losing Kevin Wilson is going to hurt them, but if you look at Indiana these past couple of years with Kevin Wilson, that offense has always been dynamic. The defense has been bad, but they've been in a lot of shootouts where they gave some good teams ready for Ohio State that weekend. Absolute fit. So that game, we say they steamrolled them, but on the road, opening weekend, Labor Day weekend. That one, Ohio State better be prepared.
Good call, man. I like it. I love the conversation here. So we're keeping it going here. And now we're going to switch gears. We're going to talk about the ACC. And we got a lot of good squads from the ACC. I know Robert has mentioned them. JQ, you talked about Clemson. You talked about Florida State. And there's a couple squads, too, and I know we'll talk about that, too. I'm curious on your thoughts about Louisville. You know, Lamar Jackson, you know, I don't know if he's kind of – I don't think he's a one-trick pony, man, but I'm kind of curious to see how he steps up his game. You know, you had some pretty interesting seasons from that too, man. You know, Miami's making a little push, you know, obviously getting Mark Richt. You know, so tell us your thoughts about this, JQ, about the ACC, and kind of how you think it shakes out as far as the standings here.
It's that – I think it's going to be the same thing that happened last year, and I think NC State is going to be a sleeper team. I think NC State is going to be a little bit better than people think they are. Watch out. I think they get those three, that Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, triumvirate. I think they get them all in Raleigh, or they get two or three of them in Raleigh. So watch out for them to play a little spoiler. But that, you know, round robin between those three, that Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, is going to really decide it. I think Miami, you know, they lost Kaya. He left to go early. I want the Hurricanes to do well, but I just don't think they're there yet. Georgia Tech is really not scaring a ton of people. I'm sorry with that triple option. They may spoil one weekend, but I don't think they have enough to contend. I really think it comes down to those three, with NC State being a dark horse there. I think they can upset some apple carts, and people are going to be like, oh, no, the Wolfpack did it. I'm like, yeah, the Wolfpack is not bad. They're going to play some solid D. Lamar Jackson, you know, I think people saw the highlights of him running, and of course, you know, what he was able to do was just freakish. But he really took a step forward last year with his passing, going through progressions, going down the field. They lost, I believe, their top two or three wide receivers, so it's going to be interesting to see if they can replenish that. He's got a lot to, you know, live up to, having won the Heisman. Does he have a slump, you know, from that? But I think he's going to definitely get Clemson and Florida State's attention. And that Clemson team, again, they're loaded on defense. I mean, they are flat out just stupid on defense. But when you lose – Deshaun Watson, when you lose running back, I just lost his name. I went to the Giants. You lose him. Of course, you lose Mike Williams. You lose your tight end, Leggett. I mean, they lost a lot on offense, and that's going to be tough early on for
Wayne
them. That's what's going to be key. Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, Wayne
Gallman. They got to survive that storm where they can progressively get better every week and match the intensity and the output that the defense is giving them, because I think their defense is going to be really good. But offensively, when you lose that much on offense and you ask them, okay, jump back in there and defend the national championship and just come out the gate and be, you know, just all guns blazing, that's a lot to ask of young kids who a lot haven't seen a ton of playing time outside of blowouts, not really playing time with all the chips, you know, in the middle of the table. So that concerns me a little bit for Clemson. Does Francois keep taking that next step? Like I said, they got a hype running back coming in, to Cam Akers. The Florida State generally always has a lot of good, you know, defensive prospects. They slipped a little last year, but I think they get that rectified. Tough game against Bama, but it's out of those three, I think. I think one of those three, as long as they only suffer at most one loss, will be one of the, you know, four for the college football championship.
Yeah, Clemson lost a lot. You know, Kelly Bryant taking over for for your boy, for Deshaun Watson. So it's going to be tough for them too as well. I'm going to let Rob talk about this, but I'm going to talk really quickly about my Georgia Tech team. They got some really good recruits in defense from Swilling boys, you know, believe it or not. Swilling was a huge, Georgia Tech recruit, so he helped that happen too. Yeah, Pat, so it's interesting because, you know, I don't think
they're quite yet
ready yet. Yeah.
Dome Patrol.
But it's interesting how, you know, defensively I think we'd be a little bit better. But, again, your triple option, I have nothing to say about that, man. I'm still waiting for that. But, of course, though, it is what it is.
Might as well go back to leather helmets with that offense.
Come on now. It's all good. We're gonna do what we got to do, man. Not that I'm trying to defend it, but it is what it is. All right, Rob, go ahead and pick your thing as far as ACC and Fellowship Pop, sir.
Well, obviously, I'll start with the ACC Championship game. I'm looking at a Miami-Florida State matchup. You know, obviously Miami, Mark Richt is recruiting, getting that program back together, even though they lost the quarterback, Kaya, from last season. I still expect him to be the team out of the Coastal Division. So I'm looking at a Miami-Florida State old-school matchup in the ACC championship game. As I mentioned earlier, Florida State loaded. Florida State is loaded on defense. And, of course, if you want to see the development of DeAndre Francois at the quarterback position. Florida State, as I mentioned earlier, has got an extremely tough schedule. I still expect them to come out of it. I mean, obviously, Florida is a non-conference game, but they're playing at Florida. They're playing at Virginia Tech. And you're playing at Clemson as well. So that's going to be extremely tough. And then you got another tough non-conference game with Alabama. So I can't find a team with the toughest schedule in the country. If they can come out of that with one loss, they should be a shoo-in for the playoffs. Obviously, I think the balance of power in the conference is going to shift over to Florida State with Deshaun Watson now taking snaps for the Houston Texans. So I expect Florida State to be that team to beat. But when you look at big games in the conference, you still got to put Florida State at Clemson down as one of the big games in the conference. I think the quarterback is going to be the difference with Florida State now being able to have the experienced guy at the quarterback position. I think they go on the road and beat Clemson this year. And then the Coastal Division is going to be decided between Miami and Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech is a really sleeper team this year as well. But I like Miami to come out on top as well. North Carolina getting a familiar name at quarterback to replace Mitch Trubisky. Brandon Harris from LSU transferring to North Carolina. He's going to be starting quarterback from North Carolina.
Yeah,
so we'll see if Larry Fedora could get something out of him, a lot more than what LSU can get out of him. Then we talked about Louisville. Can Louisville challenge Florida State and Clemson with Lamar Jackson? But Clemson has got less overall talent than both Clemson and Florida State, and I think that's going to be the difference. You have to put Louisville number three in that division, even though Lamar Jackson's probably had the best quarterback of the three teams. But Florida State and Clemson just have so much more talent overall on their roster against Louisville. You saw it in that Louisville-LSU game where LSU just – their talent just swallowed Louisville in that bowl game last year. And I think you'll see the same thing this year with Florida State and Clemson against Louisville.
Yeah.
Good calls. All right, like I said, America, give us your thoughts as far as if we're off the mark or, you know, anything you want to definitely respond as far as that, as far as our previews, as far as Big Ten ACC. We have put it down. Gentlemen, we've got about 11 minutes to go here left for the live portion, and we can't let this go without some love for the SEC, and I may kick it out to the Pac-12 since I'm out here too, so I'm going to put all this in too. But Rob usually put the SEC.
Sorry, Oregon and Oregon State,
right in the middle.
Man, John, I can do nothing this year.
Not
oh man, bro, not while I'm out here, man. You know,
that's
they
the
have
truth,
some thoughts, man. I know truth. I
where are you at, so they can come and jump you, Andre?
So anyway, we're going to keep this, man. I thought we were boys, man. Why are you going to do that to me? Man? Come on, man. Let's talk about the SEC here.
Man.
I was gonna let Rob kick it off, man. So, bro, man, I don't even like this. Go ahead, man. Kick off the SEC, man.
Well, obviously, when you talk about the SEC, it's Alabama and everybody else. It's somewhat of a down year for the SEC on last season when Auburn goes to the Sugar Bowl at 8-4. That's ridiculous. And so it was pretty much Alabama and everybody else last season. It was a big drop-off. I expect for the SEC to be better than it was last season, but it's obviously still Alabama. They're the clear-cut team in number one spot in the SEC. I think Auburn and LSU will be better than they were last season. I do. They both lost four games last season. I think they will be somewhere in that 2-3 loss or maybe even one loss category. They both will be better football teams this season, right behind Alabama. The SEC East is going to come down to Georgia and Florida. Florida loses a lot on defense, but again, Malik Zaire from Notre Dame is coming over. He's going to be the starting QB. He's give them some mobility, which they're going to need because their offensive line is going to be a little bit of concern this year. But they hope they can get better as the season goes along. They're going to be pretty young on the O-line. I mean, they have a stud at running back in Jordan Scarlett. So they're going to really need that offensive line to get up to speed to be able to give him the lanes that he's going to need. He's primed for a breakout season if he can get some success up front. Georgia, in my opinion, is the team to beat in the East. They're also primed for a breakout season, in my opinion. 11 returning starters on defense. Nick Chubb, Sony Mitchell in the backfield, Jacob Eason, quarterback. O-line is also a minor concern for them as well, and they also have a concern. They don't really have the playmakers on the outside for Jacob Eason, so they're going to have to really get find some weapons for him to throw the football to, but they should be able to run a ball pretty easily at Georgia. So Florida, when you look at their schedule, they host Tennessee and LSU and Texas A&M, so they get all three of them at home. Georgia's big games, Auburn and Tennessee, are at the on the road. And, of course, you know, Georgia and Florida's played there in the swamp, Jacksonville, so-called neutral field. But I think I like Georgia overall in the East. I think from top to bottom, Florida's just going to have too much talent to replace that went on to the NFL off that defense. But I do like them number two in the SEC East still, and I like Tennessee in the number three position. And then when you look at the SEC West, behind Alabama is going to be Auburn versus LSU. The SEC East is improving, but the top challenger to Alabama is still going to be either Auburn or LSU. One of those teams will be the second-best team in the entire conference, not just the SEC West. Quarterback play is going to be big in deciding this matchup. Obviously, Auburn has got a big-time transfer. Jarrett Stidham, a junior college transfer, also was at Baylor for some time. I think he's going to be a big part of that Auburn offense, and they should be pretty good. They got a serious running back combination, Kerryon Johnson, Cameron Petway, and they might have one of the best offensive lines in the conference too this season. They lost some big names on the defensive line. They still got Marlon Davidson to come off the edge in pass rushing situations, and they still got one of the top trios at linebacker, and, of course, have a returning big-time corner in Carlton Davis. But they do have a lot of holes to replace up front on that defensive line. So we'll see how they're able to replace those guys. And, of course, when you look at LSU, Ed Orgeron's first full season as head coach, probably outside of Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis is probably the next best running back in the country, or they're 1A and 1B. So he's going to be big for LSU. Quarterback still always remains a question mark for LSU. Danny Etling is going to be the starter. We'll have to see how new offensive coordinator Matt Canada can get that offense going. Still a very talented receiver group at LSU. They're going to be young, but extremely talented. So it's just going to be a matter if they can get the quarterback play and get the ball down the field and score a lot more points. Their defense is still going to be loaded, so they're going to be very strong as well this year. I'm going to actually predict Auburn as the second team in SEC West, LSU third. LSU's got five away games in conference this year, but only three home games. I think that could play a part in it. So I think they're going to be very close. But I have Auburn at number two, LSU at number three in the conference. The rest of the SEC West is anybody's guess. Arkansas, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Okay. I'm going to say Texas A&M at number four and Arkansas at five with Ole Miss and Mississippi State bringing up the rear. We talked about the East, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, 1, 2, 3. I think when you look at teams on the rise in the East, you got to look at Kentucky and South Carolina. South Carolina, Will Muschamp, the defense is young, going to be better. Jake Bentley is a rising star quarterback for sophomore. He's a sophomore quarterback that's a rising star. So look for them to be better. And I like Kentucky to be better with Mark Stoops. Benny Snell, a really good running back. And they're going to have one also going to be very strong up front and offensive line. So I think those are two teams in the East that could be sleepers as well. That's my SEC breakdown.
Hey, man, let's talk about more LSU, our squad, bro. Anything you got to do, man, just, you know, keep on pumping up LSU, man. I want you to let me know about LSU, bro. I'm a fan, man, because that's the, you know, that's the Falcons, you know, factory right there, man. So you keep on talking about LSU, man, the talent we got, bro. I love it, man. Keep it going. JQ, man, we're excited, man, because
I can't even come back,
you know,
to
we
that.
Talk-
okay.
We talking about that, and Rob kept it. He kept it 100 because he didn't talk about what happened with Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss, man. And I think because of all the drama, they're going to definitely be last in the West.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about Ole Miss.
I don't know.
What about Dan Mullen? I'll let you do your thing, JQ, man. Can you talk about a guy that was kind of like, you know, he was a pretty potential hot head coach, and now he's kind of like back at the bottom, man. So Mississippi State is taking some lumps too, man. I know
that's what
happened
with Zach Lord Pop,
mercy. At least. Yeah. Go ahead, though. Go ahead, JQ. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So where to start? So I'm going to start with the SEC least or the SEC East, because the SEC East is really letting down the SEC conference as a whole. When Florida and Tennessee and Georgia aren't all powerhouses, it's not good for the conference. And all three of those are not powerhouses. I agree with Rob that I think Georgia should be the best with Easton and Chubb, and it's actually Sony Michelle. In the backfield, those returning starters on defense, they should be able to ground out some games. They still need some, you're right, some playmakers to emerge on the outside. But in that Eastern Conference, I think they can still win it. I think the winner of the cocktail party between Florida and Georgia is going to be your SEC East representative, and they have to make it a game this year where the SEC championship is not a foregone conclusion to whoever wins the SEC West. Is going to win it all. I still think that's going to happen, but I think the SEC East has to in order for the SEC to get out of, you know, a little bit of a downward trajectory based off of last year and going into this year to bring it back up. As far as the SEC West, I agree a lot with Rob. I think Auburn is going to be really tough this year to mess with if they get that defensive line, if they get those young guys to come in and play, because like you talked about with Petway in the backfield and Stidham, they're going to be explosive on offense, and I think they're going to be much improved from last year. So I'm looking for that Auburn team to have a really big uptick. We've already talked about Alabama. You know, they're Alabama, Nick Saban, it's a factory. They're going to be there in the end. I'm sorry, Rob, but as long as Etlin is starting for LSU, I just can't really give LSU the kudos they should get for the talents they have on that team, because they cannot sign a quarterback, and it just befuddles me that LSU – in that talent-rich state of Louisiana and neighboring the Texas, they can't find a quarterback. It's baffling.
It's happening, JQ, because of the switch of offense too. So I just want to throw that out there. Just want to let you know we got about 2 minutes for now. So just let you know.
Okay.
So if you want to hold that last thought,
and
let Rob get ready to set up the OT portion. But yeah,
go ahead.
We got about 2 minutes.
That's the main reason why I have Auburn ahead of LSU right now, because I think quarterback play, until LSU can prove me wrong in that department. But when you look at overall roster, I think LSU's roster is better than Auburn. But I think
Definitely. The
quarterback is going to be the difference. I think they're going to be really close still, but I have Auburn slightly ahead of them. Matt Canada will have to show me that he can develop these quarterbacks better than the previous regime has at LSU. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to go to our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live. So click on the same link. We got more college football to talk. This is a college football special edition tonight. So you definitely want to listen in for our fans out west. I know y'all still awake. It's still only 8:43 p.m. out there. So definitely click on the same link on tomorrow. You get this OT portion. We're talking Pac-12. We're talking Big 12. So we still have more football to discuss on this show. We might even squeeze in a little NBA. Squeeze in a little Major League Baseball if our time permits in the OT portion. So once again, we'll be back on what night next week?
I think it's still Wednesday, Thursday. Yeah, we'll let you know. Yeah, everything's
Stay tuned. It's either going to be Wednesday or Thursday night. We'll let you know for further information.
Wednesday.
We will be on the air either Wednesday or Thursday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, it's going to be 5 p.m. Definitely tune in, and we'll be discussing some NFL, college football, NBA, whichever's hot on next week. But don't forget, click on the same link tomorrow to get more college football. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. And get that link so I can tell you who my X Factor is in the SEC West. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. I'll see you next week.
Don't be like Rob and JQ following Drake for concerts all across Europe. Anyway, that's what we like to do, man. So, you know, let's keep this going as always.
Nope.
Man, like Von Miller.
I leave that for Von
there.
Miller.
Yeah, Von's a wild dude for that. That's wild.
Oh, man. So,
no, so
let's
let
go
me,
ahead and kick this out.
Scary to follow another dude around the world like that.
Yeah, he's out there strictly for the party and the European chicks. That probably was a crazy, ridiculous time that he going to have to go to the clinic when he get back to make sure he's still okay.
Oh.
But just to finish off my essay, I'm just saying, you know he's wilding. Messing with Drake, going across Europe? Yeah, it went down.
Yep.
But as far as the SEC West, I'm not going to put the shovel on Ole Miss, and this is why. They're going to play free. Nobody's going to have any expectations for them. They can't go to a bowl game due to the self-imposed ban. It's going to be a lot like that Ohio State team when Urban Meyer first took over, when you're like, oh, well, they wouldn't have made the playoffs if they didn't have this. You know, yeah, they might have, but would they have played with the same looseness when they don't have any expectations? They have no expectations in Oxford this year. And you got Shea Patterson, and you got a really, really good triumvirate at wide receiver for them. They are going to give some people some scares. They may not win the game. Don't get me wrong. They may mess around and win one. You don't think they should. But that offense is going to be very, very, very good. I don't know about their defense, if they're going to be able to be that Landshark defense. I don't think so. It's going to be a lot of shootouts. They're going to be a lot like Indiana, where that offense, where you're going to have
take the words out of my mouth.
You're going to have to do that, yeah. But they're going to give some people some scares. So I'm saying I wouldn't put the dirt on them too much yet, because they got some talent on offense for sure.
They sure do.
Okay.
And Sherrod Patterson is a Louisiana kid that Les Miles failed. Well, he tried to recruit, but they failed. So that's a big blow for LSU. But definitely Ole Miss is going to be a threat offensively.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, like I said, guys, I mean, you know, I wasn't trying to throw them, you know, down the drain. I was just basically saying, too, that there's been a lot of things happening for them in the offseason, too. So you hope that, you know, they can kind of, like you said, kind of get that, you know, foxhole mentality. Yeah, foxhole mentality.
Yep.
We're going to come out. No one's sure about the expectation. No one knows anything about who's the coach. Who's the new coach? Is it Luke something? What's his name? I got to think of the name of the new coach.
Matt Luke.
You know. So once he, you know, it's kind of like you said, JQ, it could be a surprise, man. So they do have some talent. And, you know, again, I'm not going to say they're going to come out and, you know, whatever, be the top of the division. But like you said, that's a good call. They're not going to be doormats. But, yeah, good call. All right, gentlemen. We are still got two more divisions to go. We're going to try to fit this in here. And I definitely want to talk about the Michael Jordan comments, too. But let's go Big 12 and kick us off. Go ahead, JQ. That's on Big 12.
Well, honestly, for me, the Big 12 is going to be about Bedlam, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't think anybody else is really on the level of Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. And I think Oklahoma State wins that. Mason Rudolph is a flat out going to be a stud. He is a stud, and I think he's going to further prove that to people this year. They shouldn't have had that crazy ending last year. I forget the name of the team where they got hosed, but it shouldn't even have been close. But you talk about James Washington at wide receiver, you talk about Justin Till at running back, and Mason Rudolph at wide receiver. They may have the best triplet combination. And I know we talked about Penn State, but they may have the best triplet combination in the country. I think Oklahoma State and Gundy with his I'm 40 and his mullet may take the step this year in the Big 12. And they don't have to play that championship game, so that's another game they don't have to play necessarily to get another potential loss. I mean, they're going to have to win all those other games convincingly because the Big 12 is down and they're not going to get a lot of respect. But they're gonna if they can run the gamut and they can beat Oklahoma in that Bedlam game, I think Oklahoma State punches their ticket. You know, Oklahoma's got Baker Mayfield back, but they lost D.D. Westbrook, they lost Piron, they lost Nixon, they lost some dudes off that defense. That's gonna be a lot for them to surround him with those young guys and get back to where you think an Oklahoma team should be. But I just think Oklahoma State wins that conference.
Hold on, JQ. And I don't know if you're wrapping up, too, because my boy Jason just hit me up. And he's like, I need you to hold this thought, you too. He's a huge Texas fan, man. He's like, yo, hook 'em horns. What about my boy? He was happy about Charlie Strong getting let go. He's like all on the Herman bandwagon, bro.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I don't know if you want to address that, man. He's all thinking that Texas is going to make a huge comeback, bro. I don't know if he's a loser or what. He's talking all kinds of junk, bro.
You know what? But not in year one. Not in year one. I don't think in year one. I think he's starting to lay the foundation. I think Tom Herman is an excellent coach, and now he's at a big-time school with that kind of money and that kind of talent in his backyard. I think he can put Texas back on the map. I just don't think for this year that they're going to get there to be the team that Texas should be. The same way I think that LSU and Georgia should be with all the talent in their backyard. If they can keep those four or five stars in Texas, and they will listen, they want to go to Texas. They're bred to want to be, you know, Longhorns from their dads to their granddads to their great-granddads. So it's true. It's just a serious tradition there in Texas. I just don't think this upcoming year is the year where they get over the top. But I think that's an outstanding hire, and I think Texas will be a team on the rise.
Okay, guys, shout out to you, Jason. He's cracking me up, bro. He's going all ham. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
Those are very good calls, but I still like Oklahoma to win the conference, and the reason why I still have them over Oklahoma State, Oklahoma State might be extremely porous on defense this season. Their defense is going to be could be very bad. Offensively, they're going to be extremely strong, as JQ mentioned. But I like Lincoln Riley. I think he's a star in the making. As a head coach as well, even though he's never been a head coach before. He might even be more successful than Andre's guy, Bob Stoops. So I like him as a head coach. You still got Baker Mayfield emerging this season. He's going to be a Heisman candidate. Obviously, they lost the two top running backs, as JQ mentioned, and Mixon and Perrine. But I still expect offensively they're going to score over 40 points a game with Lincoln Riley and Baker Mayfield at the helm. And defensively, they're still going to be strong. They came on really strong in the last month of the season last year. They returned six starters from that defense. Sophomore linebacker Caleb Kelly, this kid is a breakout candidate to be a stud, to be an all-pro. Oh, I'm sorry, all-American. I keep forgetting this is college. And then, of course, you got the emergence of Jordan Parker, Parnell Motley at cornerback, opposite of Jordan Thomas. They're going to be really strong defensively to go with a really strong offense as well. So that's the reason I would still put them slightly ahead of Oklahoma State. I have Texas at the number three spot. But Oklahoma State-Texas game could be interesting. As JQ mentioned, offensively, Oklahoma State is absolutely loaded with Mason Rudolph. I mean, they probably have the nation's top wide receiver combination with James Washington leading the way. Coach Mike Gundy's offense is going to be extremely loaded. And they're going to beat teams because their offense is going to be so good. They may not need to have a shutdown defense. If they can just have a middle-of-the-pack defense, they could be really scary. But I still think that's going to be the difference between Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. It's going to be that defense. Obviously, they get graduate transfer Adrian Baker, he will help them to alleviate some of their concerns in the secondary, but not all of their concerns. So they're going to be really hurting on that side of the football. The Longhorns, obviously, with the big-time hire of Tom Herman coming over from Houston, and, of course, got a new defensive coordinator, Todd Orlando. So we're going to see if they're going to get some results. I expect them to move up to the number three spot. Obviously, running back Chris Warren is going to be running behind a really good offensive line. And they got 10 returning starters on defense, and there's still not a lack of talent on that roster. I think they're going to have a big jump. They're going to be really competitive this year. And I see a team that could easily go 10-3, 9-4 at worst. I think they should be a lot better than what they have been the last few years. And, of course, the sleeper team in the conference, you got Kansas State. I think West Virginia and TCU also could be some really sleepers. And I think down at the bottom of this year's conference, I think you're going to see Texas Tech, Baylor, or Iowa State. You might see one of them sneak into a lower-tier bowl.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh.
All right. Good calls, man. That's for you, Jason. I know he was pretty excited about that, too. So we got about 7 minutes, gentlemen. And let's wrap this up with Pac-12, three letters, USC, all over that, man. Go ahead, Rob, with the USC, and get ready, JQ, call for this.
Well, you got to go Washington and USC for the Pac-12 championship game. I think that could be a really good matchup, too. Washington, even though I got USC ahead of Washington, and I just have Washington just outside of that top five, so I think they're still going to be a really good football team. And if I had to put them, I'd put them right now at number seven. As far as since I did a 5A and 5B, I would skip down to Washington as that seventh team in the country. So I think the Pac-12 between USC and Washington is going to be extremely top-heavy with these two teams. But I like USC winning the conference the way they won their last nine games. I think they're going to be loaded. And, of course, the quarterback position, Sam Darnold, is going to be they're going to be really good.
Yeah,
and you got the Huskies Huskies returning 13 starters from last year's Pac-12 title team, too. So you still got Jake Browning. You got running back Miles Gaston. Chris Peterson, one of the best coaches in the business as well. They got to find another wide receiver to replace John Ross, so they're going to need a weapon to replace him on the outside. And, of course, you lost standouts on defense. Buda Baker, Sidney Jones, Kevin King, one of the best secondaries in the country. So you're going to have to find a way to replace that defensive backfield. I think that defensive backfield will be the reason why they take a step back and fall behind USC. But Washington is very strong in their front seven, so they'll still be good in that for that part of their part of the defense. They got road trips to Colorado, Arizona State, and Stanford, so that's going to be tough. They avoid USC in the regular season, but like I said, I think USC will get them in the championship game. And Darnold, of course, is a Heisman contender. Clay Helton has to find a way to fill voids on the offensive line and also for final placement for Juju Smith-Schuster, but they should be really strong on defense, and they have enough depth on that team. That's where they should be able to find replacements along the offensive line and the wide receiver position. I was being funny about the top challenger to Washington in the Pac-12 North. I think Oregon has a chance, but I think they'll be a little bit behind Washington this season. Yeah. Then Josh Rosen, he got hurt, of course, in October of last season. So I'm picking UCLA to be the second team behind USC because of Rosen coming back. And then, of course, Colorado and Utah will be two teams that could be sleepers. Utah is a team that always develops the talent. They'll develop these three-star players and find some studs in the mix. So I think Colorado and Utah will be a couple of teams that could be sleepers, as well as Arizona and Arizona State.
JQ?
Not a lot more to throw on that. I agree with that. I think it's the USC-Washington show, and you also got to remember that Washington lost, I believe his name is Pettis, the wide receiver opposite of Ross, who was very dynamic and also their kick returner. So Washington has a lot of holes to fill, and I just think USC with Sam Darnold in that talent base out there in California, I think USC wins the Pac-12.
Good call. Hey, like I said, man, it's very exciting. Sorry, Oregon, even though we're here, man, you know, it's just going to be tough, man. But like I said, man, we'll always have some time to come back and see how we develop that. But like you said, it's going to be an interesting division. Good calls, man. All right, gentlemen, 3 minutes here. If we can get a quick 30 seconds in about Michael Jordan, right about Kobe being better than LeBron. Mm-hmm. I know JQ is probably ready to talk about this as well. Kobe better, yeah. And I think, you know, it's interesting as far as, you know, some people talk about championships. Kobe's got more than LeBron. I think you're talking about apples and oranges as far as player-wise. Kobe was more of an assassin. Yeah, he's going to be better in that instance. I think LeBron's more of a team kind of different type of player, so it's tough to kind of compare those two. But if you look at, you know, straight-up championships, yeah, Kobe, but I think LeBron has got more MVPs and little things like that too. But that's my thoughts on that. I'll let JQ talk about that and your comments on that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's really it. It comes down to that. I think LeBron right now, and really more for his career, is a better all-the-way-around player than Kobe probably is in terms of rebounding and assist numbers. But Kobe ain't just that death, kill, murder mentality, you know, 187, that's just where he is. And it's just about your particular flavor that you like. And, you know, Mike is always going to err on the side of rings until, you know, it's about his rings versus Bill Russell's rings, and it's not the same thing. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's all about what you like. I mean, really, you just can't look at rings as the last, you know, as the only determining factor in that conversation, because then you would say Robert Horry is better than all of them, which we know is crazy. So I just think it's just Michael Jordan doing what he does, and I think that he just doesn't want LeBron to creep up during that conversation with him because of all the other stuff you talked about with the MVPs and the finals MVPs and whatnot that LeBron is going to have, I still think, as his career comes to an end. Because let's not act like he's done. Like, I understand that Golden State's a juggernaut and this, that, and the other. But he may not be done. So, you know, let's revisit this conversation once he hangs up the shoes.
All right, I'm going to let Rob this. I'm going to get back block talk. I'm going to see how far we can go with this two fellas, man. So, you know, let's just kind of stretch the envelope here because it's at 11:59 here for you guys. But for me, I'm just cool to go, man. So we're going to see how much we can push this. So, Rob, do your thoughts, and let's see how this plays out too, man. So go ahead.
Yeah, this is a very I shouldn't say controversial, but this is a very – this is an argument in the barbershop that can go on for like 2 hours, LeBron versus Kobe.
Easily.
Obviously, two great basketball players. And I actually, and I'm not saying this because I don't like the Lakers or I don't like LeBron, but I'm trying to be as objective as possible on this particular topic. But I actually think LeBron James is already a better player than what Kobe Bryant is, and his career is not even done. And I look at, you know, the championships of Kobe Bryant. Obviously, he's got five. But I look at, you know, LeBron James has got three NBA Finals MVPs. He's got more NBA Finals MVPs than Kobe. Kobe had two. You got to realize Kobe Bryant was the second-best player on his team for most of his career. And LeBron James hasn't been on any team.
Uh-oh.
He hasn't been on any team where he was the second-best player on his team.
Oh.
Every team he's been on since his rookie season, he's been the best player on the team. And like I said, it's not an argument of, you know, Lakers. I'm just being as objective as possible. I mean, LeBron James has been the best player on his team since he was a rookie. Since he was a rookie in the NBA, and he's got more NBA Finals MVPs.
Uh-oh.
He's got more NBA MVPs. And then when you look at the stats of who's hit more game-winning shots, it's a misperception that Kobe has a better, but it's actually LeBron James. And to me, he's already. When you look at him 2 years ago, he led the finals in both points, rebounds, assists, steals, and rebounds. Steals and blocks and five. We've never had a player in NBA history to do that. And
wow.
So to me, in my opinion, and then the year before that, he was the first player to lead the NBA Finals in points, steals, and rebounds. And he's done it for almost like 3 years in a row. I mean, it's practically unbelievable. Now, I do agree that Kobe has been in better situations from a team standpoint than LeBron James. Yes. But when you talk about individual who's a better player of the two, I actually think LeBron James has already exceeded what Kobe Bryant has done as an NBA player.
See. You can't penalize that dude. You can't penalize him for having Shaq on this team. That's not his fault.
I'm not penalizing him.
Yeah, but people say that when he had Shaq, he was second best. But, yeah, I mean, Shaq was a force of nature, and that's the hand he was dealt, and it worked out for him for three titles. So nobody's going to cry for him. But I feel like a lot of times people penalize him for that. But that first year of the three-peat, yes. But you start to look at those numbers in the second, third year, they start to balance out when Kobe's comes up and Shaq's comes down. And the other piece of that is, okay, if you roll
here's
it out
my
right
argument.
Now.
He should have at least one NBA Finals MVP out of that three. He won zero.
Hold on. Not when you got Shaq, and you know they were going to give it to Shaq. You stopped that. But
you just said he was just as good as him. It's his second year.
But they were going to give it to
Shaq. He should have won at least one NBA Finals MVP.
They was going to give it to the big man. You know they was going to give it to Shaq, especially at that time period. You know they was going to give it to Shaq. So I'm going to ask you this question. So if you got to roll the ball out late in the fourth quarter and you need a bucket to get the win, who would you take? Would you take Kobe or would you take LeBron? You gotta get a bucket in the mix of the team. I'm not talking about team building around, you know, what makes LeBron better or Kobe better. They got four other guys with them. They need a bucket to win in the fourth quarter for you to get this title. Would you take LeBron or would you take Kobe?
I think LeBron is a better player. I'm taking LeBron James.
You stop it. No, you would not. You would take
Kobe.
Yes,
I would.
Come on, man.
Snap.
I would not. I would take Kobe because Kobe's going right to the rim. He ain't going to drive and throw it to the three-point shooter. He's going
to
drive to the rim. He's going
to
make you
take
his head off.
Proven stats have shown that LeBron has actually had more game-winning shots than Kobe has. He's hit more, and he's even hit a higher percentage than Kobe has. Look at the stats. It's proven.
How many times have we had a conversation about LeBron passing in a point in time in the game, or especially late in the game, where everybody's like, man, you got to go to the rim. How many times have we had that conversation
really,
about LeBron?
That's not really a fair conversation.
And how many times have we had that conversation about
Kobe?
Yes, about
that,
it is, because Kobe's going to go to the rim.
He's going to go to the rim, but the stats are showing that LeBron has made more. He's hit more. So you can't argue
he
that.
He's made
that's,
more,
that's
and he's hit a higher percentage.
He's hit more. That's crazy. I didn't even realize that.
So you're going to take?
He shot the ball a higher percentage than Kobe has over his career. He's got more assists. He's averaged more rebounds. He's averaged more points per game than
Kobe's
Kobe.
Kobe's a killer, though.
So Dre, you gonna take LeBron when you need one bucket to win the title over Kobe?
I would not.
I think LeBron's a better all around player, but I wouldn't take Kobe.
LeBron is
gonna
hit a higher percentage.
Bucket.
He's gonna hit the bigger shots, and he's got the capability of passing to the open man, who can also hit the open shot, which Kobe would never do.
I know.
Kobe would never pass. I'm with you on that. But see, this is JQ. Those stats are pretty. I didn't realize those stats. That's pretty impressive because I was kind of leaning towards Kobe, but now I'm like, man, the fact that I mean, Kobe's a killer. Kobe's a straight up killer. Both of them are going to get.
Yeah,
shot,
Kobe's a top
know,
10 player in my book in NBA Ooh. History. I'm not. Yeah, that takes nothing away from him.
Wow.
But if you talk Kobe versus LeBron, I think he's already surpassed him, and he's got probably 4 or 5 more years left in him.
That's crazy.
One bucket, I'm taking Kobe for sure.
Yeah.
Hands
well,
down.
Well, like,
is that bias?
It's tough. Yeah,
no, that's
that.
Look, I, LeBron's Ohio kid.
Is that
I
objective
want LeBron
or
to do well. No, that's objective. I said it earlier. I think LeBron is a better
objective,
all-around player. Because he does more in terms of rebounding assists. And you can't take that away. And I would never try to take that away from him. LeBron's an Ohio kid like me. I want him to put his name way up in the stratosphere of greatest basketball players of all time in the NBA. I absolutely do. But if you're asking me personally who I would take for one bucket to get it, to give me a championship, I'm taking Kobe, and that's just me. You can't convince me otherwise. I'm sorry.
One
that's
bucket?
Cool. I mean, that's
who's
your,
a better player?
That's your
– I said one bucket.
But who's the better player?
He did say one bucket.
They do different. They do different things.
He did say one bucket, though, Rob. But you know what's interesting about this is the fact that you know we're talking, we're comparing this, and Rob did make some good points as far as that. You know, you can't. LeBron has been the best player on the squad, and no, you can't fault Kobe for having Shaq. But again, it's just kind of a different scenario because again, Kobe, he's had his thing, but he's been the straight up assassin and. He hasn't really made his teammates better, per se. He's just kind of done his thing. So, again, different player all around from that perspective. So
Roger,
I
need
apples
to call
and oranges,
in.
Man. Roger, you better get Roger on the next go-around because if you put that out there, man, he'll probably hear it and probably like, oh,
but that's
Kobe.
Not fair. He's got a man crush on Kobe.
He does have a man crush. You know what, Rob? I dare you to put that on Facebook, Rob. Put something bad about Kobe, and then you see how fast he responds, man. He's talking about the Woodward. Somebody's talking about
Kobe. You're gonna agree to it.
Wake up! Oh my God!
You got to do it. You got to do it.
Oh man! So America, if you're still, I know we're not live, but the podcast. I'm definitely testing. I'm seeing how far we can go with this too, with the Blog Talk for getting this last week, man. So I'm a little triggered from that, but it's all good. But, gentlemen, if you want to wrap this up, man, you most certainly can. I know we kind of went a little longer. I don't know how long they're going to let me talk, man, so I'm just going to get back in, man, you know, since we
do the last
this,
topic.
Man, so it is what it is.
Kobe versus, like I said, Kobe versus LeBron, you can go an hour and a half in the barbershop about that.
Yeah, you can, absolutely.
That's serious barbershop conversation right there.
You might start a fight in the barbershop with that.
Yes, oh, yes.
So let's talk about the last topic here, the Dodgers here, and they've been on a streak, an amazing streak here. I think they're like 75 and 13, something crazy like that. They probably won two more.
Best record
they
in
picked
the
up yard. They picked up your boy Darvish. Didn't they grab him?
You Darvish. You Darvish.
And they've obviously with Clayton Kershaw kind of going now, you're kind of thinking about that too. But right now. They are on a straight tear. And I guess the question is as far as which team is the biggest obstacle, if you can say obstacle, right now. And I do got to give a shout out to the Braves. So they actually beat them twice, you know, in that little span.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to be proud of. Nothing to be proud of, but they're the one squad that kind of like, you know, probably got more focused. But who do you think, JQ, is the biggest obstacle for the Dodgers in the National League right now?
Well, I tell you, I don't think it's necessarily a foregone conclusion, and that's not to take anything away from the Dodgers because they are just playing fantastic ball. I mean, in another stratosphere. But about the elephant in the room that hurt, but he's really not. I mean, that's something you still have to overcome. That's something that we can't take for granted. That team has a good starting rotation, and that's going to be tough. It's always tough in the playoffs. You saw Gio the other day almost no-hit the Marlins. So I don't think Washington is going to be a pushover at all. And, you know, I'm an NL Central guy, of course, and I don't really have a whole lot of love for the Cubs. But I feel like, you know, they just are kind of petering around and as you see, they're getting a little bit better. And I think they just had a serious hangover from the World Series. I think they're going to be there and going to be something to be reckoned with come playoff time. They got to get Arrieta and Lester to back to pitching and Kyle Kendricks to pitching the way they can. But, you know, they got Wade Davis from the Royals to take Chapman's place, and he's not, of course, throwing 104. We still have a very solid closer. So, you know, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. The NL, is, I think the playoffs period in baseball is going to be good, in AL as well. But I don't think that, you know, you're going to see the Dodgers just steamroll people.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, and, you know, they got a really good team. But I think, you know, if they you know, a Washington in a divisional round and then the Cubs in the, you know, the championship round or vice versa, that's going to be two very entertaining series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just tough. And I'll let you talk about this, Rob, too, because, you know, at first you kind of thought the Cubs were kind of that squad. But like you said, JQ, they have been definitely sleepwalking. Mets have had a lot of issues with their pitching staff. So it's just been an interesting – you know, season this year, man. So I'll let you kind of finish up, Rob, as well, man, and kind of think, give us your thoughts, man.
Well, I think, you know, JQ obviously covered that really well. I think I'll agree with him on this, even though we disagree on Kobe and LeBron. But but it's fun to have disagreements sometimes too. But
absolutely.
I think when you look at it, the one team. If any team, I mean, I like the Dodgers to go all the way to the World Series, so especially to get Clayton Kershaw healthy, and you get Yu Darvish as well. I mean, they are the team to beat as we speak right now, and it could be the team to beat to win the whole thing. But if there's one team that could make a run at them, I mean, you know, Jake, you talk about the Cubs, but also, you know, the Washington Nationals. I mean, you still got Bryce Harper, who's definitely an MVP candidate on that team. Maybe can carry them. To the next
Murphy.
Level, and then of course you get a good closer, you get Brandon Kinsler in the trade from the Twins.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously
mm-hmm.
talking about a guy who had 28 games, who saved 28 games for the Twins prior to coming over to the Nationals, who really helped them come playoff time. You're going to really need that once you get to the playoffs. So you know we'll see. I mean, to me, they're probably the only team that's got an outside shot at possibly contending with the Dodgers, but I clearly like the Dodgers to go to the World Series.
Oh, yeah, they're
man, you heard it. You heard it here. Dodgers bringing back that old-school mentality. Love it. You heard that as far as we see how that plays out. True. We're going to hold you that, Rob, on today, man, on today's date, man. But anyway,
I got my Dodgers.
We got all of our topics in.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
You know what?
Wait a minute. Don't you got a picture with a Giants jersey on?
He's got Giants. He got Yankees.
No,
he's all over the map.
Matter of fact, when I talk in sports with the 12th man page, I got a picture with that. We need to change that. I need to put something on there with some Saints gear.
Yeah, how are you gonna have the Giants and the Dodgers jersey and they in the same division? Come on, man.
You know, it's just for fashion.
yeah. You know, y'all give me a hard time. Look at that.
I might be one of the few people in the country that actually look kind of like both of them. And they're arch rivals.
Yeah, you're tripping.
I like the Red Sox, and I like the I like Red Sox and the Yankees. That's how that.
Wait. You like the Red Sox?
No, you're talking about you.
I was saying. You like teams that are
Red
like
Sox,
rivals.
Red Sox is right up there with the Falcons and the Duke Blue Devils for me.
Yeah, all good. It's all good, bro. Hey, man, same thing for me, man.
And the Lakers.
I can't stand the same.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
He's giving shout out to everyone, JQ. See, look at he's upset to all of us, bro. Oh, man.
The cowgirls, again. Too.
who else, Rob? You want to finish it up, bro? Who else you got, man? Who else you got, man?
Alabama, man. Old Piss, too.
Okay.
I was waiting on it. That train is never late.
Yeah. Well, Alabama,
oh,
those gumps.
Oh my goodness! America, whoever listens to this podcast, you got it all, man. You got like
yes, you did.
This is probably, man, one of our more entertaining podcasts at least. And I'm actually kind of interested that Block Top hasn't cut us off yet, man. So this is kind of refreshing.
We have to repost this so people can tune into our LeBron Kobe debate.
Oh man, this is great, man. This is great. And again,
mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop, how far we can go with this, man. So I'm not sure what Block Top's going to do. But this is for last week. Y'all can suck it. Anyway, gentlemen, it's been
mm-hmm.
a fun night sharing, talking sports with you guys as always. You want to wrap it up, Rob? You probably got like literally like a minute because it's probably like 12:15. I'm sure how they're going to cut us off at some point. But, yeah. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll give you the information for next week's show if we're going to be on the air
Wednesday
or Thursday night. Looking at Wednesday night of next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Aloha. So we're going to be on next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Obviously, football, NFL kicked off tonight with the Hall of Fame game. 20-18 win for the Cowboys. So we got football that's back. So we covered college football quite a bit tonight. We still may talk a little bit before the season, but we definitely start getting into our NFL predictions here really soon as well while we're in the preseason.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that here in the next few weeks. Basketball world still starting to quiet down a little bit. Free agency is quieting down. So we're going to focus more on to the football season and a little bit of baseball as well here in the next few weeks, so you don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anybody's in the area next week, either day works for me next week. I'm Monday through Thursday with the G-Braves, so I'll be hustling. But short of a rain delay or something crazy, I should make either one of those days. So come check your boy out and see my replays on the Jumbotron. I'm going to hit you with the Russell Simmons. God bless. Good night.
Yeah, that's what's up, man, too. I prefer Wednesday because I've got some stuff going on Thursday. So if we can do that, that works out perfect for me. But other than that, again, we appreciate talking sports.
Told you to
and,
stay away from
that
weed
some
trap
rest.
On Thursday night.
Man, see again, he always wants me to, like, you know, cut him off, man. But it's just, he better be glad that he brings some knowledge to the show.
That's just a joke, America. I know he doesn't do that. But so just in case y'all thinking I was serious.
Oh, my goodness, man. All right. It's all good, man. But until next week, what we got to do, showing love on the West Coast. As always, gentlemen, I'll be back in Atlanta on Sunday.
Don't go to Cliff
Robinson's
weed shop while you're out there, too.
Come on.
He has one in Portland.
Come on.
Second, now, how Rob knows that, that's a whole other conversation, too. He hasn't heard about
know,
all the
right.
weed shops, man. He's trying to tell me don't go here. That sounds like somebody that kind of knows the area a little well. You know, don't go to Denver. Why not, Rob? What you tell me about Denver?
If you go around the block and tap on the third door on the left, they got that good stuff.
get the brown paper bag. You know, all that good stuff too.
Because that makes you draw
America,
the
time. Robbie knowing
where
to go. Let
me have Snoop Dogg beach up there in Portland.
Oh my goodness. I got nothing.
Y'all remember when Cliff Robinson played with the Portland Trail Blazers? Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm trying to figure out how you
go back to Isaiah Ryder. He's going back to Isaiah Ryder as well, man. Remember him? He's trying to go back.
Yeah,
he went back to
Terry Porter and Kevin Duckworth.
Kevin Duckworth. Rest in peace, Kevin.
Wow, what a name.
Ooh, back stuff, man. Oh, man. All right. I'm seriously signing off, man. Hey, fellas, I got to end the show, man, because we'll be here all day. All day. All right. It's been a thrill. Gentlemen, thank you for providing the last, man. Till next week. See Chris out. Be good, fellas.
Good night,
people.
Be safe, bro.
Good night, people.